ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अयम हि कृत निर्भेष जन्मकोट्यंशहम अपि यद्व्याजहार विवाश नाम स्वस्त्ययनम हरे। अजामियो हैज ऑलरेडी अटोन्ड फॉर ऑल हिज सिंपल एक्शंस। इंडीड ही हैज अटोन्ड नॉट ओनली फॉर sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives. We're in a helpless condition. He chanted the holy name of Narayan. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense, and therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Yamadutas had considered only the external situation of Ajamiyo. Since he was extremely sinful throughout his life, they thought he should be taken to Yamaraj and did not know that he had become free from the reactions of all sins. The Vishnu Dutas therefore instructed that because he had chanted the four syllables of the name Narayan at the time of his death, he was freed from all sinful reactions. We are reading tonight the beautiful story which is contained within the sixth canto Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the story of Ajamiyo. Ajamiyo was born in a very religious and pious Brahmin family. And he was even trained by his father, by his guru, in the higher principles of spirituality. And he was given a very chaste, faithful, and religious wife in marriage. In fact, such a pious life is very, very rare in this world. He was on the path back to the spiritual world, the path of Sanatana Dharma. What's this like coming here to this wonderful gathering this evening? Our plan was to take the straight main highway, but we found, especially coming close, there were so many roads closed and detours. Detours that take you the opposite direction. And somehow or other, after wasting so much time, we have to find another road that goes in this direction. And then another detour, and another detour. This material world is very easily understood through the traffic system of Bombay. Because the human form of life is meant for one purpose only. Atato brahma jigyasa. The human form of life is meant for self-realization. It is not meant for sophisticated, elaborate forms of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which is available for the lower animals. The quality of human life that makes us superior to the beasts, the insects, the fish, the birds, and the plants, is that we have the power to question, who am I?
who is God and what is our relationship with God. There are 8,400,000 species of life, and it is explained in the Shastras that generally the soul evolves through most all of these various species. And in all of the lower species, what is the soul's business? Simply to seek out physical pleasures and to somehow or other sustain one's life through the process. And then to produce offspring, to become very attached to your offspring, and to try to provide pleasures and sustenance to the offspring. That is the animals. We see the birds in the trees. They are born. The father bird goes out to work every day, brings back nice grasses to make the nest stronger. Sometimes he brings back nice insects to eat, and he feeds it to his family, and they have dinner together. And then he has some nice relationship with his wife, and more little birds are born, and then he makes his nest a little bigger and has to bring back more food. He goes out every day, comes back, they sit together, they have dinner, they go to sleep. And the mother bird takes care of the little babies. Does that sound familiar? What makes us different than these birds? I don't know if you use this phrase in India, but if someone is very foolish in the West, we call that person a bird brain. Have you ever heard this before? That's not... Anyways, if you go to America, if you do anything foolish, people will say you are a bird brain, which means you have a brain like a bird. What are you doing? But factually, the whole human society, 99.9% have brains like birds. We may have nice flat, and we may cook all nice delicacies, but the business is the same. Just bodily pleasure and bodily maintenance for ourselves, our family, and our well-wishers. Therefore, atato brahma jigyasa means that this human form of life is not meant for that purpose. Of course, you have to perform this work, there is no doubt, just to survive physically in this world. But human form of life is the junction by which our consciousness is meant to realize God, to go beyond the repetition of birth and death, to enter into the eternal blissful realm of spirituality. That is the singular, exclusive business of a human being. Nayam deho deha bhajam no loke kastan kaman arhati vibhujam je tapo divyam putra kayena satvam sudyajyasyam brahma sokyam tvanantam. The Supreme Lord has said that now you have attained this most rare and precious human birth after evolving through millions of species, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, maintaining this physical body and trying to enjoy some sense enjoyment. Now, don't waste a moment of it striving for more sense enjoyment, which is fully available for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. We may be very fond of eating nice halva, but the hog is enjoying his stool as much as you're enjoying your halva. In fact, he's enjoying your stool as much as you are enjoying good delicacies. So simply to taste something with your tongue is the business of animals. Therefore, Rishabhdev says, this human form of life is meant for tapasya. Tapasya for the purpose of the divine realization of the eternal pleasure of the soul. It is meant to unite with God through love and devotion. And if we do not use this human form of life for that purpose, then we are the most unfortunate. Just this evening, I was speaking to a very, very highly successful Indian businessman. And he was telling me about a miraculously, a fabulously wealthy family worth billions upon billions of dollars. And he told me about how the son committed suicide out of frustration. And the family was so shaken up. He said, you realize in such a situation, what is the value of money? Can all their money bring their son back? And without their son, they cannot enjoy life, no matter how much money or wealth or prestige or power they have. It is a fact. Money is limited. Wealth is limited. Prestige and power is limited. But the heart is seeking unlimited joy. And that is easily attained when our consciousness simply stops going chasing after everything of this world and seeks the wealth of the soul. It is the greatest treasure, and it is within all of us. But just as we have to strive for the treasures of this world, we also have to strive for this treasure. And this is the business of human life. So we are on that road. As soon as we take human birth, we are on that road. But this world is full of detours. At every step, there is some sign pointing us a different direction to divert our attention away from God. And this is what happened to our poor Ajamio. He was just going about his seva for his guru, for his father, his family. He was a very pious and religious man. But while he was going about his work, there is danger at every step. He happened to see a very, very low-class prostitute embracing a very sinful man. And when he saw this, it just was such a fascination to him that he became uncontrollably attracted to this prostitute. And he was trying to keep his mind on his pious and religious life, but he couldn't do it. He ended up leaving his pious and noble father and mother, leaving his chaste, faithful wife to meet this woman. This sinful woman, who was the embodiment of sense gratification to him. And in order to maintain her, she wanted more and more and more and more and more. And she wanted nothing to do with him unless he provided her all of her necessities, which were unlimited. So therefore, he had to take the occupation of a thief and a liar. Everything he did was black. He was causing so much cruelty and violence to other people's feelings as he was exploiting them. And he was committing every type of possible sinful activity. But yet, he was never satisfied. Lust burns like fire. It can never be fulfilled. So anyways, he had many children. He grew very old, and his life was being totally wasted. And what did he have to show for it? Kamala dala jala jivanatala mala. Only frustration. He was seeking pleasure, but all he had to show for his whole life was simply anxiety and frustration. And he was laying on his deathbed, and he knew that death was coming. But Krishna is so merciful. In Bhagavad Gita, he explains, Neha bikramana sosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatopi. That I will always protect my devotee, even if he goes astray. Tyaktva svadharmam charanam bhajam harir bhajan apakvoti pateta topati yatrakva va bhadram bhudimusikhim kovarata abdhos vadharmataha. This means that even if a devotee who is striving on the path of self-realization, even if due to previous conditioning or due to weakness of heart, that person goes astray, Krishna puts that devotee through such suffering that he ultimately realizes that I'm wasting my life. And again, when that person comes to that realization, Krishna will arrange something to bring that person back to the spiritual path. That is his mercy. So the Supreme Lord, who is in everyone's heart, who knows past, present, and future, invoked Ajamil to name his son Narayan, knowing that his youngest son would be his strongest attachment in life, and that he would be standing at his side at his deathbed. So as Ajamil was on the verge of death, he saw the messengers of death coming toward him. He looked upon his son, and he cried out his name, Narayan. And at that time, he died. Now, the messengers of Yamaraj, death, came to take his soul away, to bring it to a sinful place where he would be punished for all of his miscreant activities. But just at that time, the messengers of Lord Narayan appeared and said, you cannot touch him. Because he chanted the name of the Lord, all of his sins have been cleansed. Not only in this life, but in millions of previous lives. But he didn't simply chant the name of the Lord. After all, we are all chanting tonight so many names of God, not just once. We have chanted so many hundreds upon hundreds of names in our kirtan tonight. But what was special about Ajamil's chanting? It was in a helpless condition. It was without any offense. Even though he was not purposely calling upon the Supreme Lord, the Lord is none different than his name. And as you approach Krishna, he reciprocates according to your consciousness. Because with such feeling, in such a helpless state, like a child, he cried out the name of his son, hoping that he could help him. his mind was completely immersed in offenseless chanting of God's name. That is the power of Hari Kirtan. And this story is told by Shukadev Goswami. In reply to Maharaj Parikshit's question to him, Maharaj Parikshit said, people in this world are very sinful. And generally people go to temples, they worship the murtis, they perform rituals, they engage in sacrifices to atone for the sins that they have committed. It is called prayashchitta. And Shukadev Goswami explained to Maharaj Parikshit that for every particular sin that you commit, there is a particular prayashchitta to neutralize or negate the reaction of that sin. And all prayashchitta entails certain types of austerity. Just like so many people here in India, they go to the temple and they give some donation, thinking that because I am doing this charity, some of my sins will be relieved. Because we are very sinful today, our society. Or we think by giving charity to the poor, I will be relieved of my sins. Or by doing some meditation, or going to some saptaha, I will be relieved of my sins. Huh? But Maharaj Parikshit was not at all satisfied with this answer. He said, the fact is this, Guruji, people perform their sins, they do their prayashchitta, their atonement, but then because of their uncontrolled mind and senses, they are forced to commit the same sin again. And then another prayashchitta, and then another sin. This is in every religion we find this. Amongst Christians, many, they drink, they eat meat, they smoke cigarettes, they have all dating, and they go to church on Sunday and they confess, these are my sins, please forgive me for my sins. Yes, you are forgiven, very nice. Tomorrow's Monday, I can start sinning again. But I know the secret. I just have to come here every Sunday and then the blackboard is erased. Maharaj Parikshit said, it's like an elephant going to bathe in a river and cleanses his body so nicely, then comes out and rolls in the dirt. Maharaj Parikshit said, the problem is not the sinful actions. The problem is sinful desires that are so deeply rooted in our heart that no matter how much we do prayashchitta, we are forced, we are dragged by the modes of nature, dragged by our uncontrolled mind and senses to again engage in these activities. What is the solution to that? Just like if you have a garden and you're trying to grow beautiful roses, huh? If the garden is full of weeds, they're going to choke that rose. Roses cannot grow in a place full of weeds. No flower can grow in that situation. And if you cut the weed, it grows back stronger. And if you cut it again, it grows back even stronger than that. And you can cut it and cut it and cut it, and it will keep growing back and keep choking the flowers. So Maharaj Parikshit said, all of these religious activities that are in all the scriptures of the world, they're all just cutting the weeds. What is the way to uproot those weeds from its very root? So it can never grow again. And Shukadev Goswami said, there is only one way. In this Kali Yuga, there is only one possible way of uprooting the very cause of the desire for sinful life and material attachment. and that is a fenceless, helpless chanting of the name of God. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gathir anjata. Not just chanting the name of God, but chanting in the mood of Ajamiya. We found in Mahabharata a very similar story when Draupadi was being stripped of her sari by Dushasana. At first, by her own endeavor, she tried to protect herself. Just like these days, through science, through medical technology, through politics, through all sorts of economic strategies, we are trying to protect ourselves from pain. We are trying to protect ourselves from old age, disease, death, and the other onslaughts of material nature. But can we protect ourselves from these things? Not any more than Draupadi could protect herself from the mighty hands of Dushasana. Material nature is like Dushasana, very powerful. And we are like Draupadi. We are just very helpless. The sari that Draupadi was wearing, we could say that it represents our very life. Because for a woman, especially in Vedic culture, for a woman to be stripped naked before a respectable man is worse than death. That sari represented all the dignity of her life. She could not live if she had to face that humiliation. So we are all clothed with this sari, which this body is also compared to clothes. Vasamsi Janani Yathavihaya. Krishna said this body is like a set of clothes. It's like a sari covering the soul. And material nature, like Dushasana, in the form of time, is ripping this sari off of us, taking this body away from us. From the time of birth, as you are growing older, what's happening is your body is being ripped away from you. And what can you do about it? Nothing. You are helpless. We are all helpless in the hands of time, in the hands of material nature, in the hands of death. We are helpless. And so many conditions of life, even in between, cast us into helpless, hopeless conditions. So what did Draupadi do? She realized, I'm trying my hardest, and I'm trying my hardest, and I'm trying even harder. I cannot protect myself. Only Krishna can save me. And she threw her arms in the air, and she cried out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." If she was going, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, hey Krishna, hey Govinda." Not like that. "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." Helpless. Like a child crying for its mother. Huh? They know I'm right. All of you adults, you're thinking, maybe, maybe not, but children accept. Cried out the holy names. And upon calling the name of Govinda once, Krishna was there to rescue her. And he performed the great miracle of manifesting an unlimited sari. And as Dushasana pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled, there was no end. Because Krishna's mercy, Krishna's protection is endless. It is infinite, it's unlimited. He is achuta, unfallible. In this way, Ajamila also, he was in a completely helpless condition, and he called out the name of God, which is non-different than God himself. And because he chanted with such feeling and such desperation, those three syllables, Narayana, cleansed him of all of his sins. He was liberated. But although liberated, he didn't chant with love. He chanted helpless, but not with love. Therefore, he was not qualified to enter into the spiritual world. Unless you chant the name of God with pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love, you cannot enter into the divine realm of the Lord. So therefore, he heard this discussion, and he was given the chance to continue his life. He was given an extension, like an extension on his visa. He was allowed to remain in the country of this body a little extra time. But now he was wise. It took so much pain and so much terrible, terrible suffering to realize his mistake. And then he went to the holy place of Haridwar, and on the bank of the Ganges, he simply chanted the holy name and chanted the holy name. And through that chanting and through living a pure life, his heart became completely cleansed and love of God awakened. And then those same messengers of Lord Narayan came and brought him back to the spiritual world. Shukadeva Goswami explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam that no wise person, no sane person will be impressed by someone who lives a long life. Today, this is a great accomplishment. If you could live till 80, 90, 100 years old, it's considered that you're really a Mahatma by material standards. Huh? But so what? There are trees that are several thousand years old. Are they Mahatmas? They're just standing there. Human life is meant for that one moment of quality of calling out God's name. Shukadev Goswami says, if you can live for one moment and with great feeling and love call out the name of God, your life is perfect. You attain eternal life. But if you somehow or other prolong this body for 80, 90, 100 years, but you never attain that consciousness, it's just 100 years of waste. Because after all, what are you going to take with you? What do you have at the time of death? Everything you've been protecting, everything you've been living for is finished. Maharaj Parikshit was a young man, and he was cursed to die in 7 days. And Shukadev Goswami was saying, You are the most fortunate man on earth. Because in these 7 days, you are helplessly, with a sincere heart, coming to hear and chant the glories of the Lord Krishna. Therefore, your life will be perfect in 7 days. Maharaj Katvanga was told he would die in one moment. And he was thinking, wonderful. This one moment, let me offer it to Krishna. And he offered it with such feeling and love that he attained eternal life in that moment. And we have so many moments. And every one of those moments is the precious opportunity to perfect your life. But Yova Etaraksharam Gadagiya Buditlashma Praiti Shakripana. This means the greatest, supreme, most misfortune in the entire existence Every moment is the chance to perfect our life. And when we reach 80, 90, 100 years old, and it's the time of death, we realize that all of those millions upon millions of moments that I had, I wasted. Seeking out the things available for the animals. Spiritual life is the supreme priority over everything else. We may have to work, we may have to maintain our families, we may have to do our duties to our nation. You must perform your duty, but you have a duty that is more obliging than all of these others. And that is your soul's duty to the Supreme Soul, or God. And in this age of Kali Yuga, it is the duty of every living being to strive to come to this standard of consciousness where we can helplessly, like a child, cry out the name of Krishna in pure consciousness. That is our first duty in life. Everything else that we do in this world should be orchestrated so that we can come to that standard of consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And the name of God is so powerful. It really makes no difference what you've done in the past. Valmiki Muni was a murderer, but because he gave up his past bad habits and chanted the name of God in the association of a great Vaishnava, he very quickly became perfect. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, it doesn't make any difference. The present moment is here. By associating with saintly persons, by giving up our past bad habits, and by sincerely chanting the name of God, everyone can attain the perfection of life in this life, not after death, in this life. If you want it, it is yours. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, you said that we should chant with love. And second point, you said that Maharaj Parikshit was listening Bhagavatam with sincere heart. So how we can understand that we are chanting with love or we are listening in sincere heart?
To chant with love is a very high stage. But there's a process by which we can come to that platform. And that is that we must associate with people who are encouraging that love. That is the first and most important. And in their company, by accepting Vaishnav, by accepting Gurudev, their influence and instructions teach us the process by which we can live in a mood of service rather than exploitation. And in that consciousness, to chant sincerely as we can, attentively as we can, gradually love will awaken. No doubt, it will definitely awaken if we simply follow this process. And anyone can do it. if they just understand the importance and try. It may take time, but not much. Considering millions of births of forgetfulness of God, even if it takes a lifetime, that's nothing considering what we gain. Yes.
Maharaj, as Krishna said, he'll be the most happiest if he worship his devotees. But in these days of Kali Yuga, when we human beings are so uncertain in our behavior and activities, it's very difficult to find a very common balanced man all the time. So under these conditions, how do we identify a real devotee? How to identify a real devotee?
If you are sincere, Krishna will give you the intelligence to identify. If you are insincere, he will give you the intelligence to misidentify. So first thing, if you really want Krishna consciousness, if you really want it, it is explained that the quality of a devotee is that they are striving not for personal ambitions, but they are striving to serve. They're striving to always remember Krishna. Where you see that they are coming together to chant the holy names, they are living pure lives. They are not going after the objects of the senses. They are anxious to hear the glories of the Lord. If they are following the authorized process of Guru Parampara, accepting a spiritual master who is honestly and sincerely following the previous lines of great saints, then we can understand that these are real devotees of the Lord. They are giving up sense gratification. They may be working, they may be having jobs, but what do they do with their free time? They come to temple, they chant, they dance, they chant japa. What do they do at home? They don't sit in front of television sets. They read the scriptures. They serve the sadhus. They serve the society. Of course, it is true that we are not omnipresent. We do not know what they may be doing when we go away. But if we find that they are sincere and consistent as far as we can see and what we can hear, and if we are sincere for the proper thing, then Krishna will give us the right persons. No doubt. He's in your heart directing you. And he's also in your heart and he's creating what faith you have. If you have the right motive, he will give you the right faith and the right person. But we have to, according to our capacity, discriminate according to what I have just explained. Any other questions? Srila Prabhupada used to say, how do you know who the best devotee? The person most addicted to Krishna. The person who is always talking about Krishna. The person who is always doing something for Krishna. The person who is intoxicated by Krishna only. And who is his humble servant. Yes?
While mentioning about chanting, you said about helpless chanting and offenseless chanting. Helpless is well understood. What is meant? Helplessly chanting is well understood. What is meant by offenseless chanting?
If you are chanting helplessly, it is automatically offenseless. 10 offenses to the holy name, you know what they are? When you when you criticize great devotees of the Lord, when you are chanting the holy name, thinking that I can commit sins, and then I'll chant, and it will neutralize. When we chant with all of these ulterior motives, there are 10 offenses to chanting. We must learn those 10 offenses and guard against them. But the only time you can actually chant without those offenses is when you are really in a helpless state of mind, just calling out God's name. Otherwise, there's so many motivations, so many things we want to gain from the chanting. So many things we want to gain from the chanting. Offenseless chanting means, Krishna, I'm yours. And through chanting offenselessly like that, then love begins to grow in our heart. The advanced state above offenseless chanting is chanting in love. But in order to chant offenselessly, we have to strive to live a pure life. We have to have the direction of great spiritual personalities to help us live a life that is free of offenses. And that will bring us to the point of chanting purely, helplessly. And through that process, inevitably, spontaneously, love grows in our heart. That is why, without guru, you cannot chant offenselessly. Ajamil had guru in his youth, and his guru saved him at the end. And then after he realized what a nonsense person he was, he began to very strictly follow his guru's order. Then he perfected his life. So we need such personalities to teach us how to live an offenseless life by which we could chant properly. But ultimately, it is the name that brings us to God. Any other questions? Can you translate?